Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome, Red Sox fans, here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bastards Investigate. This is our weekly MLB-wide show where we go over various topics. This week, it will be entirely the Marcell Ozuna domestic violence arrest. There is tons to unpack with this, not just the arrest, but how the league should handle it, what steps should be taken in the future to better prevent this stuff. We are going to get into it all. Doug James with me tonight. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing good, Terry. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Could use a distraction from this Red Sox-Houston series.
Yeah, it's a mess. Absolute disaster.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Tampa lost tonight to the Yankees, so at least no ground was lost there. But let's kind of dive into it. I mean, a cornerstone of their team. He plays alongside Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna Jr. So they're not losing their star player by any means. But this is a guy that they could use in the middle of their lineup that's probably not going to be playing for quite some time. So before I get into the report, how shocked were you?
Well, my initial reaction was just, what a dirtbag. Because I was advocating for the Red Sox to maybe make a run at him in the offseason. I really wanted Ozuna. I would love to say that I'm surprised, but with the amount of issues league-wide with domestic violence, you know, it's a troubling trend to say the least. Since March 1st of 2016, 14 Major League Baseball players have been suspended for domestic violence. That's a lot. Sam Dyson was suspended for the 2021 season earlier in the year. So these one-year suspensions, they're not cutting it. It's not enough. So what's it going to take? 2 years? Lifetime ban for this nonsense to stop? It's not just around MLB, obviously. It's everywhere. Everywhere in the world. But this is a definite black mark on the game of baseball right now. And especially for a guy like Marcell Ozuna, who's, you know, a really good player. It's just it's tough for Major League Baseball right now. And it's embarrassing. It's really it's just embarrassing.
Well, let's kind of get into it. He was arrested early Saturday afternoon. The actual charges are aggravated assault by strangulation and family violence battery. And this was against his wife, Genesis Ozuna. Now, there's a lot to unpack with this. I'm going to read the booking report that was obtained by TMZ, and I encourage everybody to go on this website and read it for yourself when you get a chance, because there's tons of information. I'm going to go through it all here in a second. I do want to put up front that Genesis Ozuna, his wife, was arrested almost a year ago to the day for throwing a soap dish at Marcell Ozuna, causing a laceration above his eye. It's tough to find information on the outcome of that case, but it appears that the charges were dismissed. So it's a toxic marriage, and I'm not justifying it for either one of them. You know, domestic violence is wrong in any form, regardless of previous history, who instigated it. It's just, it's wrong. So let me put that out there as a disclaimer. And before I do get to this report, I also want to point out that they have divorce proceedings ongoing. So they, before this incident happened, they had already agreed to a divorce. But I'm going to read the report right now by TMZ. I'm very nasally and monotone, so please just bear with me as I get through it. There's a lot to unpack. It's not a very long report, but there's a lot in there. So here we go. Two officers say they responded to a report of a domestic abuse, and the alleged victim, who is Genesis Ozuna, told them that 30-year-old Marcell Ozuna had taken both of her cell phones from the bathroom while she was showering, and he took those without her consent. So that's a little weird. Getting a divorce, let's go take a shower in my soon-to-be ex-husband's bathroom. I don't know. Weird observation. When she demanded that Ozuna return the phones, Marcell allegedly refused and then threatened to kill her, while simultaneously she threatened to call 911, according to the report. Genesis Ozuna told the cops she ended up taking his cell phone and made the 911 call, and that's when Marcell Ozuna tried to leave the property. The woman claims she followed him outside and chased him around his vehicle. Ultimately, the woman, again, Genesis Ozuna, went back inside the house, locked the door, and grabbed a large kitchen knife to defend herself. The woman claims Ozuna came back inside the house, continued to yell and verbally abuse her. The woman says she brandished the knife by her hip and warned Ozuna that if he got closer, she was going to hurt him. She added that she was afraid for her life due to his aggressive behavior. The woman eventually put the knife down, but Ozuna continued to act aggressively at one point and then pushed his hand and forearm, which was wrapped in a hard cast, against her face, pushing her back and mushing her face with it several times. Not used to reading the word mushing, but that's how the article reads. And then finally, the woman says she tussled with Ozuna as he pushed her to the ground. He then grabbed her by the throat, held her up against the wall, and that's when one of the officers entered the home and witnessed the strangulation. Ozuna stopped the attack when he saw the cops, the report says. And again, he is now charged with aggravated assault by strangulation, which is a felony punishable up to 20 years in prison, 1 to 20 years in prison, I should say, and family violence battery. And these charges were filed by, I'm assuming, the Sandy Springs Police Department, which is right outside of Atlanta. So that was a very intense scene detailed in the booking report.
Yeah. Seems like a toxic marriage. So at least hopefully it's going to be ending from what it sounds like. But there's just no excuse for it, though. I don't care. Ozuna is not a small dude either. He's a big guy. And you're going to attack your wife with a cast, smush your face. Like, come on, Marcel. These guys, these people just aren't smart. Like, these guys got to grow a brain. IQ is less than, like, it's just ridiculous. You can't do that. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's an embarrassing look for the Braves. It's an embarrassing look for Major League Baseball. It's an embarrassing look for himself. And I hope this guy gets, we'll talk about it later, but I hope this guy gets the book thrown at him.
It's just crazy to me that this has happened in every sport. And I'm a baseball guy, so those are the cases that stand out to me. But football has had its share, so has the NBA. It's just crazy to me that these guys put themselves in these situations. It's not going to end well. They've seen the fallout from all those other instances, and they haven't learned from it. And here he is. His career is in jeopardy, and we're going to get to that later on. But it's just stunning to me. And the other part of me is wondering how much worse this could have been, because he threatened to kill her. And at the point where he was strangling her, he knew the cops were coming. He knew they were coming. And could this, we can only speculate, but this could have been a murder case, conceivably.
Exactly. So what happens if he didn't think the cops were coming? Was he going to kill her? You know what I mean? You know, so if he didn't know the cops were coming, he could have killed her.
Yeah.
You know, or she could have killed him. Or they could have killed each other. Who knows? But I don't, this is scary stuff. And
it just seemed like he was in a state of rage. Because at one point he had the presence of mind to leave. And then for whatever reason, she thought it was smart to chase him out of the house. And then at some point, he just lost complete control, went after her in the house. And then the cops showed up and they witnessed his hands around his throat, apparently. That's what multiple reports have said. It's pretty graphic. It's pretty graphic. And he was taken to jail. It seems like he must have spent at least a night in jail because he was in custody during the bond hearing. Now, the bond hearing took place over Zoom, which is common across the country right now because of the COVID protocols and whatnot. So it appeared that he was still at the local detention facility that he was brought to after he was arrested. And at some point on Monday, the judge gave him a $20,000 bond. And it seemed like what played in his favor was he had no prior criminal record. And his legal counsel that was speaking for him, Osuna didn't speak at any point during this hearing, but his legal counsel did, and they were pointing out where he's such a well-known public figure, has business in and around Atlanta because he plays for the Atlanta Braves. He was not a flight risk. So that seemed to be what led to such a low bond to get him out.
It seemed like $20,000 to me was very low. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not an attorney and all that stuff. I don't know. I actually didn't know that if he didn't have a prior arrest, it's lower. I didn't know that. I'm just assumed, you know, when you have cops witnessing what he did in action, I figured, well, $20,000, it's going to be, you know, way higher than that. And it wasn't. So surprised me. I don't care about a celebrity. That doesn't, I don't care. If that was us, you know, we'd be, you know, we'd still be in jail. So because it's him, he gets a $20,000 bond. I think that's absolutely ridiculous, personally.
I've never spoke about this on the podcast. I had a tweet earlier, but my youngest brother is kind of a shitbag, for lack of a better term. I apologize for anyone who has their kids in the car right now, but he's been arrested for multiple domestic violence situations, at least four or five that I'm aware of. And his most recent one was against his girlfriend. That was in September of 2019. And he's had so many that he's been held since that date without bail. So that went against my brother, rightfully so. With Osuna, the fact that he has none, no priors, that it would be very difficult to find a way to hold him without some sort of bond. Like he's going to bail out, and his restrictions could be fairly intense. I didn't, unfortunately, dive deep enough into it, but he could be required to report daily. He could be required to wear some sort of monitoring system, whether it's an ankle bracelet or whatever. But yeah. And, you know, in the case of my brother, he still hasn't gone to trial. He's rejected multiple plea deals. And I'm glad that he has, because if he actually goes to trial, he's conceivably going to get a lot more time, and you know, everyone around him is a lot safer. But with Osuna, yeah, so he did make bail, and he is out. The league is going to conduct its own investigation independent of the actual criminal proceedings. I did find it interesting, though, in that bond hearing that his wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, was supportive of him getting bailed out after that. He's going to have a no-contact order, so they won't legally be allowed near each other. And apparently she's going to reside in Miami, and he'll stay in the Atlanta area. And I guess that's where she's been residing, but she was visiting people around Atlanta and then needed to take a shower in his house, apparently. And then the incident unfolded. So there's going to be quite a distance between them. No contact will be allowed between them until the case has resolved itself. But I was a little surprised she was supportive of him getting out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, that's her husband, even though it's going to be their soon to be husband. I can't explain love, I guess, but some people are just, when they're in that marriage and you do crazy stuff, they're going to, for some reason, still support you. I've watched a lot of Law and Order and stuff like that. And you watch it and you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, this guy tried to kill you, and then you're supportive of getting out. And if that was me, I wouldn't be supportive of, if my girlfriend wife did that to me, I wouldn't be supportive of that. I let her out. Sure. She tried to kill me, but let her out. No, that's not. But I guess I can't speak for the Ozunas, and I can't speak for Genesis. So, but I guess it's a good thing that they're not in the same state, so at least they won't see each other. But if I was Genesis, I'd be like, see ya. Stay there. Well, I don't want you out.
What could be the, I don't know, the her ulterior here is that, pending whatever the divorce is, what the settlement is, she might have a financial interest that he gets on the field and starts making money, regardless of how she feels about him. Now, let's get into that. He signed a four-year, $65 million deal this past offseason. It's backloaded, but the average annual value of the deal is $16.25 million per season. And he's 2 months into that. I've done some digging on what the potential ramifications could be as far as he not, as far as the Braves voiding that contract could be. And it seems like the Braves have little to no chance of voiding that contract, and he will be paid most of what he is owed by the Braves. And the reason for this is that the Joint Domestic Violence Act that was agreed on between the league and the union, the Players Association, there's nothing in there that covers contracts being voided by domestic violence-related issues. If he is suspended, however, by Major League Baseball after their investigation, he wouldn't be paid for the duration of that suspension. So let's say it's half a season, 81 games. He would lose roughly a little over $8 million of that $65 million. So that's about the extent of what he can lose. Now, there's going to be a new collective bargaining agreement coming up, and it's not going to affect his status because his contract was signed under the current one. But looking ahead to future domestic violence situations, should teams be on the hook for this once a player has committed a crime of that nature?
So you were talking about the language of the contract. And again, I wasn't aware of all the contract stuff, but this was me. Absolutely not. You gotta hold these players, you know, accountable at some point. And so if you do something like this, even if you lose $8 million, well, of his, what, 65 that he's getting, he's still going to get 57 of it. So, it's a slap on the wrist. $8 million is a lot of money, but you're still going to $57 million, you know? So will that happen? I'm sure it won't. I don't think, you know, the players will ever agree to that. So that's just going to be another hurdle for us to have a year next year with this collective bargaining agreement that I don't know how in the world they're going to ever agree on anything. It doesn't seem like they're ever going to agree on anything, but I wouldn't pay him a penny. If you're doing that and you're prosecuted and you get or whatever, you're suspended, not a dime, not a penny. I wouldn't pay them. Absolutely not. How about you?
I'm hoping that there will be provisions added that would allow a team to void a contract in that situation. You would need some type of criminal conviction, most likely, in order to do that. But I think those provisions should be allowed in there. And I would be surprised if the players aren't somewhat supportive of that, because if you go back to this past offseason, Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán ended up serving, I think, the entire 2020 season, which obviously was a shortened season. He served that whole season, you know, under suspension. And the initial incident was the fall of 2019. So he missed the remainder of that season and then all of the shortened 2020 season. And then in spring training, his own teammate, Zach Britton, kind of made comments that he wasn't crazy about Domingo Germán coming back. And one of his quotes was, well, unfortunately, you can't choose your teammates. And that caused a bit of an intense reaction amongst baseball fans and especially Yankees fans. And I interact with a lot of them on social media, and most of them seemed receptive to the Yankees essentially releasing Germán from his contract. And so I'm just wondering, having seen how that situation played out, if the players would step up, condemn anyone who commits an act of domestic violence and allow the contract to be voided.
I would hope so. I mean, that's another point I was going to make. If you're Ozuna, and so say you know, we'll talk about this later, but with the Braves as teammates, are any of them going to want him back in that clubhouse? I wouldn't. Right? I mean, how could you play with a guy like that? You know, he's out for 5 to 6 weeks due to an injury. It wasn't his fault. Now you're doing something like this to jeopardize your future with this team. At this point, if I'm his teammates, I'm done with this guy too. I wouldn't want him back.
Yeah, and he won't be back for quite some time because it's gonna take a while for this to all play out. Just the MLB side of it, let alone the criminal charges. But I just think it's unfair for a team to make an investment like that only to lose that player based on a stupid decision they made. I mean, let's put the shoe on the other foot. Let's say, all right, and this is a hypothetical and we're only using it as an example, but say Rafael Devers gets arrested for beating his wife and he just signed a long-term extension. I mean, how burned would you feel by that?
I'd feel pretty burnt, and especially because he's my favorite player. So I'd feel especially burnt. I agree. I would feel completely burnt. And if I'm the owner giving him that deal, I feel like a piece of crap at that point. Not only am I, you know, paying this guy, I'm supporting a guy that committed a crime. So it would be horrible. And I would feel terrible about myself if I was the owner committing that money.
Yeah, because you're losing him for a minimum of a year, and maybe two, who knows. And when you bring him back, the optics just aren't good. It's just a terrible situation. And I think a team should have the right to void the contract. If a player gets hurt, that's different. I mean, look at in the Red Sox situation, look at Pablo Sandoval. We knew the risks. We knew he was a big guy, and he might not play third base for a big part of that 5-year deal, but we knew the risks, and the Red Sox got what they deserved there. They got what they deserved with that contract. So
there's a difference between punching your wife and eating yourself out of the league.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not advocating other provisions of voiding contracts outside of domestic violence. Although I would do it for PED suspensions, I think a team should be allowed to, but that's a slippery slope. But, you know, with domestic violence, it's just so unfair for the team to have to get stuck with that because, like I said, so little of it is within their control. There was nothing the Braves could do to prevent that from happening.
Absolutely nothing.
And, man, yeah.
It's just frustrating if you're ownership of the Braves. It's just you committed to this guy, and then this guy wants to, you know, act like a complete clown, you know. And you can't put surveillance on these guys 24-7. You know, once they're out of that clubhouse, you don't know what they're doing. It's always a risk. You know, you're worried about 25 guys doing, you know, it's unfair to the Braves.
Absolutely. And here's another extreme scenario, but look at Jose Fernandez.
I know, yeah.
After a game in September 2016, he goes out in his boat with a couple of friends, snorts coke, gets drunk. Hours later, he's dead, you know, and that's a huge blow. And the Marlins couldn't really prevent that from happening. So it's just there's just so little control a team has once the player is not on the field or in the clubhouse. So finally, the last part of this, do you think his career is over or eventually does he come back?
Should his career be over? Yes. Will it be over? I doubt it. Some other team, whether it's the Braves, will inevitably bring him back Or if the Braves kind of, you know, if they find a way to, you know, sever ties with him, I'm sure one of the 29 other clubs will inevitably sign him. I hope I'm wrong. But when a guy that can, you know, hit homers into the seats like he can and help a team win games, and I'm sure this is not the last we've seen of Marcell Ozuna in a baseball uniform. It's just going to, you know, the team's just going to have to deal with a ton of backlash, whoever does sign him or if the Braves do keep him. So they got to be prepared for that. But there's been too many incidents. And like I just mentioned earlier, there's been 14 people now suspended since 2019. And we see Chapman back, you know, we see Urias back, you know, we saw that Red Sox, you know, bring back Stephen Wright for, a couple weeks or whatever it was. And they severed ties with him. So inevitably he'll be back again. Should his career be over? I think so, but I would be shocked if it was.
Yeah, you bring up a couple of good examples. And with Chapman in his case, what's always been appalling to me about that instance is his involved a firearm. And he didn't shoot the victim, but he did discharge the gun in close proximity to the victim. And he came back. Another example was Roberto Osuna, and no relation, and their names are actually spelt differently. But he was under suspension when the Astros traded for him in the 2018 season. So he had already had his incident, been suspended, got traded from the Toronto Blue Jays to the Houston Astros, still under suspension, and it was about to expire, but it's just another instance of teams tolerating this type of behavior. So
Jose Reyes is another one too.
Yeah, another great example. And so I agree with you. I think he will most likely come back, but let me throw this angle out there. The police witnessed it. They might have been wearing body cams. If that body cam footage is released and it's graphic and hard to watch, I think that could be a game changer. And here's why I think that. Go back to the Ray Rice incident, running back for the Ravens. We had heard about the incident that he assaulted his wife. And I don't remember if he was immediately suspended or not, but the incident was out there. And it wasn't great, but people weren't, I don't remember there being a ton of outrage. And this was at, you could argue that that incident sparked the intense reaction for all the other incidents that followed it and all other sports.
I would agree with that.
That was the first one. That was the awakening for the whole thing. But the game changer was when the elevator footage came out and you saw him with a closed fist unleashed this roundhouse right and knock his wife out cold. It's one of the most vicious things I've ever seen.
The thing with the body cam footage, if there is that and it is that violent, how in the world is he not going to go to prison then? Especially if police witnessed that. How is he going to get off?
That's a good question. That's,
you know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing. Another thing I thought of too is like, if that's what I first heard about the police seeing it. So if there were police witnessing it, there's no way this guy's not going to jail, right?
You would think, and I think I read something earlier where the wife's testimony doesn't necessarily matter in this case for it to proceed and go into the court because the police did witness it. So that's what I'm waiting for is, were the cameras on if in fact they had body cams? And I would think they probably did in a big city like that. It'll be interesting. And you know TMZ is going to want that footage. If that footage exists, it's coming out. It could take days.
They'll find a way to get it.
It could take days, weeks, or months, but it's coming out. So that's what gives me a little bit of pause here about whether his career will definitely resume or not. My suspicion is, even if it is graphic, as far as the going to jail thing, plays out, he'll probably reach some type of a plea deal.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
It could ultimately be somewhat of a slap on the wrist. Maybe there's, I don't know how the, in the state of Maine, you could be on probation, and the terms of your probation could be pretty strict. I don't know how that stuff works in the state of Georgia, but that's what I'm going to be looking for. Is there body cam footage? Will it get released? What will the reaction be? So if and when that does happen, that's probably going to be the hot topic for this episode. We'll dive back into it, but a very messy situation with Marcell Ozuna. And I feel bad for the Braves. They're immensely talented, and I think at the end of the day, they need pitching more than anything right now. So that's what their focus is going to be. But beyond that, I hope as the next collective bargaining agreement gets negotiated, that there are provisions in there that prevent teams from having to pay the full contract, and I straight up think it should be voided anyway, the entire thing. So
I agree with you 100%.
We'll see how it plays out. So for the listening audience, we'll be back on Thursday night. So for the audience, I guess it'll be Friday morning. We will be recording the Astros show. We'll see if the Red Sox can salvage a couple of games in games 3 and 4, and we'll be back to discuss how the series went down and to preview the next series. So take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.